Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
And now, good morning to you, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good. So I am going to say a little bit about you and the content that you bring in today. So Aaron Kleinemann is a transformational sex and relationship coach, facilitator, and speaker. He's the lead male teacher for the Embodied Awakening Academy, a tantric practitioner and creator of the Conscious Men's Guide to the Bedroom. He has learned from the great masters in the field of sexuality and transformation, including earning a master's degree in spiritual psychology. Aaron went from being a licensed captain navigating ships, that's very interesting, to a sexual behavior and movement specialist navigating souls. His workshops, retreats, sessions, and speeches help humans integrate body movement, psychology, sexuality, and spirituality. Speaks and teaches honestly and transparently so that others can unlock the real reason for their human existence. Aaron's mastery as a teacher provides the practical tools everyone needs to implement embodied, awakened intelligence into daily life. And what he's bringing to us today is the power of masculine energy in leadership, a session called The Power of Owning Your Too Much. This workshop will explore all the self-sabotage and self-destructive ways where the masculine inside of you cannot trust others. This will be an internal inner journey into the depth, pain, and pleasure of your heart to truly awaken the man or woman who's here on this plane to be a beneficial presence for humanity. We're very pleased to have you, Aaron, and over to you.
Great to be here. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. And thank you all for those who are tuning in live and those who might be joining after. Super grateful to join into this incredible embodiment conference. Let's just all start by taking a nice deep breath in. Little sound on the exhale. Oh. I want you all just to close your eyes for a moment. Much of this journey I'll be leading you into is around understanding in the mind, but as all of this conference is about, we're dropping into the body, we're dropping into the layers, the masks, the worries, the doubts, the fears that happen on the outside, and going down into what's alive on the inside. So another nice deep breath in, a little sound on the exhale. And then just shake your hands a little bit. Open up your jaw, say, I'm here. Wherever you are in the world, let your voice be heard. Let your sound be heard. Let yourself be heard, because your sound, your voice matters. Your sound, your voice, your being, you've incarnated for a reason. You've come here to share whatever genius, whatever brilliance is alive inside your body. And my greatest intention in our 50 minutes, whatever it may be here together, around an hour, is that you walk away with the knowingness inside of you that even if you've been told at some point in your life, you're too strong, you're too powerful, you're too weak, whatever it may be, that you know that when you close your eyes, you can do this right now, when you close your eyes, you put a hand on your heart, you put a hand on your belly, and you feel in every cell of your body, I am here, I matter, I am worthy of love, I am love, and I have a vision, a purpose to share into this world. Does that sound exciting to all of you? Does that sound like something we can journey into? Because that's what excites me about being in this body. So again, nice deep breath in. Opening the eyes. So where do we begin? You know, there's this question of our human existence, of how we have incarnated into this form. And the best way I've come to understand our human existence is duality, meaning that in our body, to be a beneficial presence on this planet, to be a leader, we have to understand duality. And duality exists inside of positive charges and negative charges. Our body is made up of kindness and cruelty, good and bad, positive and negative. This is how we relate to the world. So the only way that we can be a beneficial, powerful leader, penetrative leader on the planet, is we have to learn how to master our duality. We have to learn how to master how we're existing on the planet. And that first comes with a cognitive comprehension that you are a lot of different things. You are, I'm sure there's a lot of labels that you can put yourself on, but when you go into the cells of your body, you are annihilating each other to a point of equanimity. It's at that point of equanimity that we can actually penetrate into the world, into manifestation, into abundance, in a way that actually aligns with our reason for incarnation. So all of that might sound a little fluffy, buffy, whatever you want to call it, but what really is exciting is when you can look yourself in the mirror and you can look yourself, you know, in the Zoom screen right now or whatever you may be, and actually just take a deep look and say, hey, do I actually love myself? Do I actually wake up in the morning, touch this body and say, damn, I'm alive, I feel good? Or is it, oh my God, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta do all that? And usually most people, we're inundated by our to-do list. We're inundated by all the things that we want to be great at, but we don't actually know how to turn the reflective lens back on ourselves to feel the things we haven't felt and to show up in a way that actually feels beneficial. What we do instead is self-sabotage. I'm not good enough. I'm not great enough. Oh my God, I didn't do this well. Oh my God, I have all these things to do, instead of actually focusing on what we do well. So put your hand up right now if you're like, hey, I know I'm really great at self-sabotage. I'm like, oh wow. Some of you are raising your hands on Zoom. Some of you are raising your hands physically, whatever it may be. I can't necessarily see you all, but I feel you and you're here with me, and that's what's most important. So it's first recognizing all the places that we self-sabotage ourselves. And it's a little exhausting in a way. And why do we do this? Because we compare ourselves to what media shows, to what, you know, we're supposed to be beautiful in some way. We're supposed to, you know, get the perfect job and have the perfect wife or the perfect husband, or, you know, have this cookie cutter life that isn't actually in our authenticity. So then what happens 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the line, we finally look at ourselves in the mirror, we're like, wow, I'm miserable. I actually don't even want to exist anymore, which is why suicide rates go up, which is why all these things go up. So to confront those places, to confront the pain that we haven't been willing to look at because we're addicted to pleasure, because we're addicted to our addictions, to our coffee, to our alcohol, to our drugs, to our plant medicines, to all these things taking us out of the body, what we need to actually start to be addicted to is going into the body. But going into the body doesn't always feel comfortable. It's not like a happy-go-lucky day that everything is always cheerful and great, because the body's wisdom has an innate level of intelligence that it's trying to share with us. So the way what all of this is wrapping around, the way that we wrap this all together is that when we can actually look at ourselves in the mirror, when we can actually take a reflective lens, then our capacity to lead begins to change. Because then most of the time, leadership is coming from people trying to have power over. And do you know why they're trying to have power over? Because they feel shitty about themselves and they want to control others because they don't know how to control themselves. They feel shitty about what's happening on the inside. So they think, oh, let me have power over others so I can have the illusion of control in the outside world. Is some of this resonating with some of you? If it is, put some comments, give some feedback. Let me know if this is resonating, because what I see happening in the world on a massive global pandemic level, whatever you want to say, is that masculine leadership is completely obscured. All we know is control, organization, and people having power over. Because on a core level, there's a lot of individuals that are just taking away our rights over and over and over again. And that might be happening. And this isn't going to turn into a political debate, so don't worry about that. What I'm wanting to inspire to all of you is that what you can do to make your change, as Gandhi said it so perfectly, be the change that you want to see. But being the change doesn't mean that we exhaust our mental resources trying to figure out, trying to spin in this rabbit hole over and over and over again. But rather, we can take it back to ourselves and say, wow, where am I controlling myself? Where am I controlling others? Where am I manipulating others? And then not just understand it intellectually, and I'm going to take you into some embodied practices here shortly that will give you a sense of all the things I'm talking about here, but actually go into the body and feel, make breath, make sound, make movement. An embodied masculine leader has connected power to his phallic power. You know, and whether you're in a male body or a female body, when you can feel your own phallic energy, and I say phallic energy, which is phallus, the male reproductive organ, the penis, whatever you want to call it, the lingam, if you recognize into more Sanskrit. But when somebody can own their penetrative power and then not need to use that to abuse, not need to use that to dictate, not need to use that to have power over, but rather power with. There's nothing sexier and more alive than a leader connected to his heart, connected to his talk, that leads from that space. So is that something that you're all wanting to understand more of? Because to do that, it means going into the body and feeling all the places where you have not been connected to your heart in decision making, feeling all the places where you have been not connected to your phallus when you're in the bedroom, when you're in the boardroom. These are the places where when you can feel that and you can move through the pain and the guilt and the agony and the frustration, and then what births out of that, what comes from the lotus petal blooming into creation, is something that the earth has never seen before, embodied masculine leadership. Because often when we reference masculine leadership, we think of logic, intellect, and control. And these are all beautiful things when done in the right format, when done in the right way. But it's as we see in society and politics and all these other places in finances, that level of control is incredibly manipulative, it's incredibly addictive, and it takes all the power away from ourselves. So if you want to call back all the places where you've given away your power, and I'll give you a little tool here. Anytime you judge another, Anytime you say, oh, they're bad, they're a rapist, they're an abuser, they're this, they're that, they're all that, you're giving your power away. Because what a powerful masculine leader does, he takes self-responsibility. And I'm saying he, this also applies to male bodies and female bodies. Taking self-responsibility is the new sexy. Does that sound sexy to you? Because it does to me. It means that we actually can take ownership for the times when we do things really well as the times we're like, hey, fair enough, I fucked that up. When was the last time you said to your partner, in either in business or in the bedroom, hey, I didn't do that so well? But rather, what normally happens is the excuses, the blame, the shame, the criticizing, all these things that we're trying to do to not actually look ourselves in the mirror and be like, whoa, there's some shit that's fucked up in the world. There's some things that are messed up out there. And can we be willing to actually look at ourselves in the mirror and own all the places where we haven't shown up in our full integrity, to own all the places that we haven't fully been a full, yes, this feels right, rather than, oh, I don't know, and I'm not a full yes. A full yes is another sexy, because we're saying yes and we're not trying to manipulate another person's yes, but rather we can feel that their yes is actually what's going to support their soul's evolution. So there's a lot of different pieces here I'm speaking about. And what I want to guide you into right now is just a practice where you can, in a very small segment, actually begin to take that reflective mirror back into your own level of your actions, your inactions, and how you're showing up in the world. So let's take a nice deep breath in. Little sound on the exhale. Oh. And again, let's do that one more time. Nice deep breath in. Sound on the exhale. Oh. And just close your eyes down for a moment. A great quote I love is, he who looks inside awakens. He who looks outside only dreams. By Carl Gustav Jung, who my beloved Raven loves to quote. And that's a quote that's really stuck with me so well, because that's the truth. When we can look inside, we awaken. The name of our academy is Embodied Awakening Academy. And this is what turns me on like nothing else, is, are you willing right now, in the comfort of your own home, close your eyes. You can hear my voice. You can see me if you want to. I'm not changing. I'm right here with you. But actually close your eyes to look inside and take a nice deep breath in. And just drop in. Just drop into your body. And maybe just first ask your body, how do you feel right now? Is there anything you need? And I want you to ask yourself, where have I not been showing up in full integrity? Where have I been not showing up in full integrity? Maybe trying to manipulate others. Maybe not owning the fullness of your power. Maybe giving your power away because you don't think you're good enough for that promotion. You don't think you're good enough to have the conversation that you're not willing to have. Whatever it is. And notice, right in that moment, your mind might start to come in to think, oh, and the self-sabotage and the story comes in. Oh, I should have done this and I should have done that. And just notice it. Notice the mind that might start now to spiral and go into a swirling place. And you have a choice right now in this moment. You can choose to listen to that mind, because that mind, that monkey mind, that mouse that's spinning will always be there. Or you can just sit with it. Nice deep breath in. And just sit with whatever the awareness is. And notice, as you're sitting with it, does it start to bring any little tension? Do you start to feel any bit of tension in your body when you can recognize places in your life when you haven't shown up to the best of your ability? Do you notice that you start to think about, oh, I need to do this next? And again, the mind's going to spiral because that's what we're used to doing. So I'm giving you this opportunity now to put the focus inside. Maybe you want to just feel into your belly, and you can even take your hands and you can just tap your belly a little bit. Just tap and say, hey, I'm here. I'm here, body. I know I maybe haven't been paying attention to you. I know I haven't been focusing on you, but I'm willing to. I'm willing to do it in business. I'm willing to do it in my relationship. I'm willing to do it for myself, because this inner union, this inner dance of masculine and feminine inside of you is really the only one that matters if you want to make things matter on a cellular level on the outside. So let's make things matter on a cellular level on the inside right now. So just feeling those places, making some sound. It might feel silly, it might feel awkward, it might feel strange, but the way transformation happens on a cellular level on the inside is that we breathe change into the body through breath, through sound, through movement. So just the encouragement now is just to breathe into the body. Breathe into the body as the body, letting things open. Feeling the places maybe where you haven't trusted another. Maybe you've been that masculine that's like, I cannot trust any, so I'm always going to do it my way because I'm terrified of losing control. So in this moment, give yourself permission, just 10%. I'm not asking for 100, 10%. What would it feel like to maybe lose control a little bit and just, all the times when you've been like, oh, it didn't happen your way, and you're frustrated, and you're like, oh, if there's emotions that arise, if you want to put on some music, I'm not putting on music because of licensing concerns, and that's perfectly fine. But if you have some music right now, put some on and just let your body move a little bit. Can you be real with what's inside your own darkness, with what's inside your own body right now? Because if you don't do it now, I guarantee you, you're not going to do it later. I'm giving you permission right now. Maybe you've never given permission to yourself. There's nothing to figure out. The body's innate wisdom is not a logical comprehension of trying to figure out what I need to do next. The body's wisdom is going to guide you. But what that requires is you can just say to your mind, hey, let me just put you aside. You're still going to hear me. You're still going to comprehend me. But to lead from the power of your penetrative essence, that means you have to feel all the places where you've penetrated without presence. All the places where you penetrated another intellectually, heart-based, maybe there's been sexual trauma that you've done to another or you've received from another. All of that is all compounded and held inside the body, and the body has been waiting often a lifetime to breathe itself open, to express itself open, to feel what it hasn't been willing to feel. So we're feeling, we're breathing. Steady inhales, steady exhales through the mouth. And you might even start to notice, if you've never done practices like this before, you might start to feel tingles in your hands. You might start to feel more aliveness in your body. So let this undulations of the spine, this snake-like essence that's unwinding itself from the base of your spine to the crown of your head. This is your Kundalini energy. This is your powerful energy that vibrates through all your cells. So imagine right now We're going to take all of that energy. Maybe you're a man, maybe you're a woman, and maybe you've been wanting to say those words that you haven't said to your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. Say them right now. Penetrate them with your words right now. You're the only one that can hear you. You're in the comfort of your own home. Do it now, or else you won't do it later. Say, you bastard. Let the animal inside awaken. Let the energy inside of you come out. If you're just looking at me and you're like, wow, this guy is crazy. He's weird. What's happening here? Or if you're going inside, whatever your experience is right now, go in deeper. What would it look like to go in another 5%, another 10%, another little bit more? Because all of that is what's inviting you to be a deeper leader on this planet. You can intellectualize all of this. You can have the best logic and reason, the best sales funnel, the best thing ever. But if you're not embodied in the way you're doing it, then those paradigms are dying. This is the new paradigm. Get on board or else you're just going to die with them. And my invitation is that you have and you know and you remember what it feels to feel deeply, to love deeply, to matter deeply. My deepest longing for humanity is that we begin to remember what it feels like to feel our pain, to not run away from our pain, to feel our pleasure, to feel it all, and then to move from that space in a way that human history has never seen before. We're at a new state. We're at a new level of awareness. And old paradigms are dying. You're watching it happen over and over. And my question to all of you is, do you want to still be controlled? Do you want to still be controlled? Or do you want to embody the change that you want to be? And I know you're on this call, you're having this, you're listening to this conversation because you recognize that now is your time to make the embodied change into your life. So again, nice deep breath in. And wherever your movement is right now, whatever your experience is you're moving through, just my invitation now is just to come to this point of stillness. Come to full stillness in your body. Deep breath in. See, this is the dance between masculine and feminine. The feminine is the expressing one, is expressing. And the masculine also can be expressing in its penetration. But we need to know stillness in order to know healthy penetration. So find the stillness here for a moment. Find the stillness in this moment where you simply become the observer of what is. Masculine is observing without judgment. Healthy masculine, observing without judgment. And a healthy, powerful leader, to be a good leader, is again, observing without judgment, recognizing all of the different qualities that are being reflected back to you. And then from that, making an embodied decision that is connected to the highest source of the soul. So be connected to the soul means that I need to know my masculine, I need to know my feminine, and then I transmute and I transcend all of that. I feel them happening simultaneously inside of me, and then my soul makes an inspired choice, inspired an inspiration from within to direct, to lead. To say, this is what truly matters. This is what I am inspired to be in the world. This is what my soul has come here to do, to be, to change, to have. That's a very different energy than when you're in your being that's like, I'm going to do this because it's going to get me more likes on Instagram. I'm going to do this because it's going to, you know, everyone's going to like me when I put this up on my website and make me look that way. Let all of that die. Let it all die. Let it all be burned away. All of the beliefs, all of the things that you think you need to be in order to prove your validated worth. There's nothing you need to prove. You are worthy because you are here. You are powerful because you are here. And maybe your mother didn't tell you that. Maybe your father didn't tell you that. I'm telling you that right now. Take that worthiness, deep breath in. And just say those words to yourself. I am worthy to share my voice in the world. I'm worthy to let my voice be heard. I am worthy to have the conversation that I haven't been willing to have. I am worthy to take off the mask, to stop trying to be somebody else's dream, to stop trying to live somebody else's illusion. I am going to live in accordance to my heart because I have nothing else I need to prove to another. That's the new sexy. That's the new embodied masculine leader who's stepping into the world with all of his power cycling and circulating through all of the cells in his body. And I'm saying his, and this is the feminine, this is the masculine essence inside of male bodies, as well as the masculine essence inside of female bodies. So there's a lot there. You might have a whole storybook of thoughts, of beliefs, of ideas that are circulating through you right now. So close your eyes again, and I just want to speak actually directly to your soul. I want you to just see this whole timeline of your life, taking yourself back to your birth, back to even the moment you were conceived, and then just see your birth, and then watch like you're watching a movie. See all of the different beliefs, systems, misunderstandings, understandings of reality that have formulated your precise comprehension or imprecise comprehension of who you are right now listening to this presentation. Wherever you are in the world, it does not matter. And just recognize, are there stories that you're continuing to buy into along that way? Are you still believing maybe, you know, your mother's voice or your coach's voice or some story or some traumatic situation that said you're not good enough, or you don't know how powerful you are, or maybe you're listening to your own voice that's afraid of your own greatness? And what would it look like right now? What would it feel like right now in this moment to let one of those stories go? To just go and just do it. Just go, I'm gonna let that one go. I don't need that one anymore. No, it may have served me in the past. It may have kept me in my belief, in the paradigm of the thought process that was there, but I'm gonna let that one go. And breathe into that new space in the body. Maybe there's some lightness. Maybe there's some laughter. Maybe there's a place inside that can find that freedom for the first time. I often say to the students and the clients I work with, if you haven't been able to laugh about it, then you're probably still inside of it. That means that, you know, that traumatic situation, that time when you really fucked up, that time when you're like, oh, that was the worst decision I ever made. If you're still beating yourself up about it and you haven't been able to find the laughter in it, then it's probably still haunting you. It's probably still bothering you. And if it's still bothering you, then it's showing up in your decision making for your company, for your love life, for all the ways that you're wanting to be powerful in the world. If it's still something that you're saying to yourself, oh, I wish it happened differently and I haven't been able to laugh about it, then it's still there. It's still there in your psyche. So find that one thing. Let out a make some sound. Be a little wild, be a little crazy. Be that one they're like, whoa, whoa, what did he take this morning? Because something's a little bit weird in him. And see, usually we're like, oh, the crazy ones, the weird ones, the wild ones. And we think something's wrong with them. But that crazy is inside of you too. Doesn't mean I need to go insane and lose myself and not have to have like powerful presence and awareness. It just means that I can make fun of this human condition, this human reality, this cosmic joke. When are you taking life too serious right now? And if you are, can you laugh at yourself enough to dive in deeply to something more beautiful, to something more powerful? Because until you can laugh at yourself, then the world's laughing at you, honey. And I don't want to laugh at you. I don't want to laugh at anyone. I want you to laugh with me. So the moment we take ourselves too seriously, the moment we get so attached and so focused, and that doesn't mean that those focused and that drive and that penetrative power isn't there. But when it's to the detriment of our own health, when it's to the detriment of our own life, then it's not actually a healthy goal. When we're not sleeping, you know, when we're sleeping 2 hours a night and we have bags under our eyes and we're not celebrating life, then what's the point? Do you want to be on your deathbed and thinking, wow, you know, I really met that deadline, you know, August 22nd, 2022? Or are you like, wow, I feel the relationships, the laughter I experienced, the places I visited, the ways in which I made a difference. And all of that needs structure, and structure is good. My background, I come from a maritime military background, as I was beautifully introduced initially. I know structure, I know organization, I know all of this. On the bridge of a ship, if you don't know structure and organization, then you're the next Exxon Valdez. I'm a merchant mariner. I know diligence in all of those forms. But what I've learned in my own tantric journey and how I support others in this is that I need to know structure so that I can actually let the structure completely dissolve away and I can come alive into something that's birthing inside of me that I never knew was possible, that was far beyond the ways in which structure actually existed. That turns the fibers of my phallic power on. That turns me on because that's where I feel like humanity is going. So if you're still attached to the ways in which you need to be seen a certain way, the ways in which you need to be addressed a certain way, it's great, it's meaningful, but what would happen if all of that died and you were sitting in the depth of your own darkness? Would you still know that no matter what, your life mattered, that you matter? And inside of that, all of the ways that you've been self-sabotaging, all of the ways that you've been getting in your own way, finally let out the door. That would be a sexy society to live in. That would be something like, yummy, juicy. I want more of it. So let's take a breath. And just see where all of these thoughts, beliefs, ideas from this crazy man, Aaron, talking to you, speaking to your soul, speaking to your masculine, your feminine. Just see where they're all landing. See where they're all percolating inside. And my actionable step I want you to take right now is, with everything I've just shared, with maybe the ways you've been self-sabotaging, I want you to think of two, and this is action, this is masculine, this is functionality, two ways that you right now could show up as a more embodied masculine leader. What would that look like in the in your boardroom on Monday? Maybe it would be to get everyone into the boardroom and then have everyone open up their jaws and say, ah, make sound and movement, and then drop them into silence. Or maybe it would just be having them, you know, checking in with your company about what's happening, you know, at home, or whatever it may be. You know inside, listen to your intuition. Your intuition is going to guide you into two, not like, I'm going to change the world Monday morning and everyone is going to be enlightened, because that's a massive step that feels too overwhelming to the main. But what I call, and what one of the beautiful skills I learned when I did my master's in spiritual psychology was 3-foot tosses. I loved it. I did a master's degree in spiritual psychology in my early 20s, and it really changed the set of foundation for the way in which I relate to myself as well as my clients and my world. And this concept of a 3-foot toss. So what is your 3-foot toss that's attainable, that's easy, that's something that you can complete in the next hour, in the next day, that would make you say, yeah, that's something that makes me juicy and alive inside, that makes me, makes my soul flourish. Because then all of this that I've been talking about has a directionality, has a, I'm going to shift the ship. I'm going to steer the ship 5 degrees to the right, and that's going to avoid the massive iceberg that I might come hit. And the other piece I want to share around this, and then I feel like if there's some questions or some things that people have, feel free to write them in the chat, or else I can keep chatting, that's fine, is an analogy I'll take again from a ship. So on the bridge of a ship, I worked on a cruise ship for a long time, you often have a navigator and a co-navigator. And the co-navigator is the assimilating information systems kind of source. It's an individual that's looking at the tides, the current, you know, the ship schedule, where the cargo has to go, all of these different things. And then he's taking all that, him, he, she, and giving it to the navigator. And the navigator is then saying, okay, this is what I need to do to make the decision, and then goes, you know, right 10, or slows down the vessel to avoid the storm, whatever it is. But the co-navigator is taking all of that, giving it to the navigator, and then the navigator makes a decision. I'm going to connect that to our mind and our heart. For most humans, our mind has become the navigator. And the mind is just logically trying to understand all of the different things and just going from one thing to the next, doing, and even doing these steps right now. This is what's happening in the mind. So it's always spiraling and spiraling, spiraling. If that was happening on the bridge of a ship, there'd be a lot more accidents. I'm not saying there's not accidents, but that's the job of the co-navigator. And then the navigator is the one who's in his calmness, in his posture. There can be an entire, you know, emergency happening, but still there's directionality there. I want to invite all of you to shift the focus of how you relate to the world from your mind being the navigator to your heart being the navigator, so that the mind becomes the co-navigator that's giving. And actually this happens on a heart science. You can look at heart math and you can look at all the science and the studies and whatnot, that when this starts to happen, then the heart actually has a deep capacity to make decisions that are attuned to the wisdom of the soul. And, you know, whether you understand the soul or the concept of it, whatever it may be, it just means that the neurons inside of the mind actually become balanced in perception, opening up the channels of the heart to speak itself into truth. So when the heart does that, and I say the heart because in this human experience, we need the mind to understand, we want the heart to feel the intuition, we want the belly to even feel deeper, we want our sexual energy to be alive too. So all four of these centers are in line, and then the heart's actually the one who's like, this is where we're moving. This is the heart-centered decision that I feel most inspired about because it's connected to the source of all creation, the soul within me that's come into this life, that knows its purpose, that's recognizing all of the different obstacles along the way, all of the challenges, all of the drawbacks, all of the highs, the lows, the goods, the bads, the kinds, the cruels, all of that inside of the entirety of your human experience, and then says, this is the next step I take to make a difference in this lifetime. Does that turn you on? Is that something you'd be inspired to do? That's the invitation for moving ahead with this talk. So taking one or two steps that you can actually apply in terms of everything I've been sharing, where you can stop self-sabotaging, feel under the surface all the things you haven't been willing to feel, and then move forward in a way that allows your heart to have a greater capacity to make decisions. In doing that, what I would envision is a world, a capacity, a place, a humanity that's more heart-centered. And that doesn't mean heart-centered is connected to peace, because peace and war serve equally. There's cells inside of our body constantly dying, and there's cells constantly being born. So a lot of all of this as well is a masculine leader needs to learn how to equilibrate, neutralize this thought that we want to have more pleasure than pain. Pain and pleasure serve equally. So if you're saying to somebody, oh, I'm so sorry, you feel so sad, the sadness is just as great as the happiness. And to balance and equilibrate those thoughts, you look at the drawbacks of happiness and the advantages of sadness. This is going to open up new neural pathways inside the brain to recognize the necessity, the recognition of the mind doing its job as a co-navigator to then feed the powerful, logical, resonant information to the heart to lead itself into life. And I think in doing that, there's something, you know, quite beautiful and sexy and alive about that. So just looking at some of the questions, why are leaders unable to let go of ego to pursue the grace of the masculine or the feminine? Well, leaders are often unable to let go of ego because we've created a society in which our ego is the one that's validating our worth. And when the ego validates worth, then we don't know worth without the ego. Now, I'm not saying that we need to let go of the ego because the ego is supportive for us. But to pursue a life that's integrative, we have to have a deeper relationship with the ego and recognize the places in which we're making decisions trying to prove our worth to another. The moment you are trying to make a decision so that somebody else looks at you a certain way and you feel better about yourself, or, you know, you can make decisions to make yourself feel better about yourself, but the moment the ego comes in to try to prove your worth into the world, then you're outside of the heart and you're back into the mind and you've lost the plot, in my perspective. You know, I think sometimes in the spiritual context, there's this conversation of ego death and my ego is dissolved and I live no more in the ego, but the ego is necessary. It's part of us. It gives us personality and creation, and we want to master personality. But when the ego is making all of the decisions for your life and there's not a checking in process to what's happening in these other centers, then there's a loss of power and a loss of, I wouldn't say a lot, there's a loss of authentic power and possibly a gain of an illusion of power. Another question asking, how do we talk to teenagers about the masculine and feminine energy? So I would say for teenagers, attune to their values. And when I say values, I mean, we all have a unique set of values in our life that's like our DNA. So if a few of us walk through a shopping mall, let's say a mother and father, and the father's a businessman, and the mother's has a newborn child. At the end of that shopping mall, a news person asks them, "Hey, what did you see in that shopping mall?" The mother's gonna say, "Oh, I saw books on, family and about home birthing and about children and all this." The father, and I'm just using these analogies, they're not always the same, might say, "Oh, I saw books on the economy around, business building." But they took the same exact walk. But the reason is there's a different set of values that are dictating their life. So teenagers have their own unique set of values that in conversation, if you're communicating to them from your own values, then they're not going to listen. But the way you find out about someone's values is you find out what their interests are. What are you really excited about? What, maybe there's a video game they're enjoying. Maybe there's, something that they enjoy about in the classroom. Maybe there's something on TV. They like movies. Find out what the, teenagers enjoy, and then be able to relate that to masculine energy is more penetrative. It's logic, it's reason. It's like masculine is the pole that the feminine energy swirls around. The feminine energy is more receptive. So in relating to teenagers, checking out where is their receptive energy able to draw into deeper intuition. Children especially have such a beautiful intuition, and what it requires is that we're able to actually listen to that. I love, I haven't seen them now for a while because of all this COVID craziness, but my nephews who are back in Boston, I love spending time with them because they're, they're both under 10 and they're both deeply connected to their intuition. Children are deeply connected. There is a point, often around that puberty stage where, teenagers start to lose that sense of freedom, that sense of just not caring about what anyone else thinks. But the more that you as a parent, as a mentor, can actually create a space where they feel safe to talk about anything, then it attunes to their value, then they can actually tune into a deeper conversation. So how would you recommend working on trusting your own power, taking responsibility for taking up space? So a lot of what I was talking about in the beginning is that, and trusting your own power is what I think intrinsically is so important for that, is just knowing that the power isn't something that somebody can give to you. You are powerful beyond belief simply because you are. The Marianne Williamson quote I love, I won't verbatim go over it, but one of our deepest fears is not that we're too much. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond belief. And when we can actually tap into that power, it can almost feel like too overwhelming. It's like, I want to shrink. I want to go do drugs. I want to do these things because I'm too afraid of how powerful I can be. So the way that we sit with that power and trust our own power is beginning to make decisions around our boundaries, around our communication. When something doesn't feel good, let people know. If you don't let them know, then you're getting walked over. If you're in a relationship and your partner isn't touching you the way that they want, if you're in the boardroom and you're not being spoken to the way that you want, speak up and say, this doesn't feel good. You're not speaking up to blame, shame, and criticize the other person. You're speaking up from your power and say, from your vulnerability, because vulnerability is power, saying, I feel sad. I need my voice to be heard more. This would provide me with more safety. Those I feel, I need, this would provide me more. And we go a lot more in depth in this in our Embodied Awakening online courses, in our retreats and our workshops and all of that. And it's about actually integrating, mastering the human experience so that you know power without any shame, blame, criticizing. You just know power because it's intrinsically part of who you actually are. And the last question there is difference between self-blame and owning responsibility. Owning responsibility is owning your worth, owning the places where you show up and maybe you've made a poor decision, owning the places where you've shown up and you've made great decisions, and you're not blaming yourself and putting yourself down into the dumps because you think you need to be somebody else. You are amazing exactly the way you are. And I'll kind of end on this piece of, you know, there is nothing you need to do to be worthy of love. There is nothing you need to do to be worthy of power. And maybe somebody in your life has taken that away from you. Maybe you feel like somebody's taking it. But when you can touch your body, and I encourage you right now, hug this body, embrace it, and say, wow, I love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me show up in this way. When you who's listening, who's feeling, is it connecting to your intrinsic power, and you're not trying to prove it to another, the world is going to be different. The world is going to change. So if you relate to the things I've said here, if you have questions, if I can support you in any way, there's a beautiful book one of the tech leaders is going to put here. It's a 5 tools to have deeper connection and intimacy and vibrance in your life. Reach out to us. The website's there as well. You can see my own. I do one-to-one coaching. I have great online courses about going from the bedroom to the boardroom to life, to mastering how to navigate this human experience. Kiss these hands. Mwah! Mwah! You are amazing. In case anyone forgot to tell you that, just look yourself in the mirror and say, God damn, you're beautiful. I'm so thankful I'm here for this joyride. I love you all. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Aaron. This was so, I want to say inspiring, but it was also activational. It was like, oh, wow, I want to take these things and go and apply them right away. So there was an activational energy in it. And there was also an energy of stillness. In moments, which I really, really liked. Thank you. This was wonderful. Many blessings. These are just some of the comments that are coming in. There were comments. People are going to share this session with their friends to watch it for free and recommend everything that's been said here. So thank you very much for sharing your valuable content. And just to repeat what you said at the very end, so people can download your ebook.
So yeah, they can download my ebook, and there's tons of free read. If you go to embodiedawakeningacademy.com, there's a whole plethora of free resources from my beloved and I. We do lives, we have blogs, there's tons of stuff. If you're ever wanting to journey into the world of Tantra, then this can be your entranceway into something more powerful into your world.
Beautiful, beautiful. So please make sure that you check all the links in the chat box so that you know where you can reach Aaron and his work. And just quickly, because we are on the top of the hour, what would be a top tip from you to stay embodied?
Stay embodied means to actually, on a daily basis, have an inner check-in with what you're feeling inside. And that can sound really basic, but what that means is putting a pillow down in front of you on your bed, taking a nice deep breath in, and just seeing how you feel, what's alive, what's moving. Are you frustrated? Express that frustration. Are you sad? Express the sadness. Are you happy? Express the happiness. Have the inner check-ins that are going to give you permission to feel deeply, to love completely, and to show up into your world in ways that you never knew how.
Yeah. Thank you. It's really amazing how you take us to our bodies in a split of a second. I have to say that. It's really amazing. So to all of you who are watching out there, know that you can go back to this session for 48 hours for free after this moment. And also go to our website, the conference website, to purchase this session and other sessions as well. So you can have them in your library. You can digest them whenever you like. It's going to be a little thank you to all of us. And it's going to make this whole thing available for free for everyone else. Also, please do check the links for the Facebook group where you can continue the discussion, also for the coffee breaks. And don't forget to join us for our next session, which is Catherine Train and Lidawi Niznik, Embodied Empathy Practices. Thank you very much, Aaron, once again. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.